This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 31st, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And after I mentioned this fitness influencer who dropped dead at 33, Adam said, I love stories like that. I said, yeah, it justifies all of our bad eating habits. Yes, and many of us are anything but health fanatics when it comes to our diet. You know, one Twinkie too many is probably the overdose that we would have. That type of thing, although actually I don't like Twinkies, but I have my own issues that wouldn't be considered healthy by anyone. But it is interesting when somebody so fit and who is so pushy the healthy lifestyle drops dead, and that's what happened. And no word on why Larissa Borges died Monday. We know how. It was a double cardiac arrest. She suffered one, went into a coma, and then a week or so later suffered another one that took her out of the game. And that's how she died. But why? And of course, you know, the internet being the internet, there's no shortage of possibilities there. Did she have COVID? Did she get a vaccine? Was she ingesting too much alcohol? Did she do drugs? The list is endless and nobody knows. But we're going to know because the Brazilian government is absolutely doing a necroscopy and going to look at all possibilities into what happened to this. She's just beautiful. 33 years old, and you can see her online in a variety of poses, you know, the body to die for, and all of that. So, theoretically, though, the deal was the body to die for came directly from clean living, so to speak, from exercise, from all the health things, and she regularly would share a post, so I guess now we're going to find out. But there were a couple stories that always come to mind when this happens. One goes way back, and I'll have to look for the guy. But it was on the Dick Cavett Show. And it was a fitness guy at the time, you know, the Jack LaLanne types, although I don't think it was Jack LaLanne, but it was someone of that ilk who had proclaimed that he was going to live forever. And he dropped dead during a commercial break. I am not making this up, so I have to find it, because I'm sure, you know, the internet being the internet, there's a story on about this, but he did. That's one. The other one was a little closer to me. I had a good friend, Sherman Cohen, who was a program director, and he was one of these really healthy living guys, and he always chastised me because I didn't drink water and, you know, everything else that I should do that I didn't do. And yeah, no wonder I'm sick. But nonetheless, Sherman was always on me to, you know, clean up my lifestyle. And, you know, that wasn't going to happen. I'll continue to live like a 9-year-old. His parents are away for the weekend. And so it was that, sad to say, Sherman got sick and he got cancer, and it was fatal. And I talked to him a week before he died, and he said to me, Raleigh, I'm pissed. And I thought he meant because he was going to die. And although that was the subtext, what he said is, You ate all this junk while I only ate the right things and you're alive. You know? Yeah, well, maybe there's something to that. But, so I don't think the equation is as simple as, live well and you'll live long necessarily. I think there are so many other possibilities, as is probably the case with Ms. Borges. But we'll find out. So if you're looking for that justification of, why you want to reach for that Mexican Coke, yeah, or, that loaf of toast, as I like to say, or whatever, yeah, that gallon of ice cream, well, a lot of people are doing that, just outlive this gal. So 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We can talk about absolutely anything for the next 3 hours, as long as it has no importance whatsoever, or at least not much. Because if it were a political show, man, I tell you, there's all sorts of things we could get into. But this is your respite from that stuff. So if you put all that aside and you go on to things that just make you smile, that's what we want to talk about. And not always only make you smile, but also there are a number of things that make you go, well, the whole royal family for one. But whatever it is, we'll cover it. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And climate change, I know that's very political. And, of course, Biden had mentioned that with regard to the hurricane. And of course, a lot of people jumped on that like whites on rice. But I love it when the scientists go back to former stances. If you remember, if you were around in the 60s, everybody was talking about the coming ice age. And then after that, by the 80s, everybody was talking about global warming. And now we hedge our bets and just say it's climate change. But here we have a Canadian scientist who's apparently very nostalgic. He's predicting the shift toward the ice age is coming. And depending where you live this summer, you might welcome that. But no, they're saying that in fact, it's the Milankovic tipping point, which was hit in 2020. And if you're saying, what the hell is that? Believe me, it doesn't matter what you do or how much carbon fuel you burn or anything like that. It has to do truly with the Earth's global patterns. And this scientist believes that the Milankovic tipping point was hit in 2020, which signifies the end of the warm phase. By the way, that was 12,000 years of warm phase, and predicts a movement toward another ice age, or at least a colder era. So the prediction is supported by unusual sun behavior, heightened solar flare activity, and a predicted mass ejection from the sun's corona. Oh, man, would that be interesting. Never mind future climate change. We do that if it's big enough and say goodnight, Gracie, in terms of the effect it could have on everything we do, communications and everything else. Because, of course, so much is depending upon that. And the last time we saw a real major solar storm in the 1800s was in the early days of telegraph. And you saw pictures of poles on fire and all this. Well, if you thought that was something then, just wait for this. So who knows? All right. So that's some of what's on my mind. I bet there's more of what's on yours. And Carrie wanted to hear some Marvin Gaye, so we will do that tonight. But Brian wanted to hear the original, of course, not a remake. He had to hear the original Backdoor Man, which was Howlin' Wolf, who did it more than once, actually. But in 1961, that's the original, even though he didn't write it. That was the first hit. And, Chess. So we'll play that and more coming up on WGN Radio. Thank you. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Howlin' Wolf and Backdoor Man. 1961 on Chess on a 45. It was a flip side, actually. A flip side of Wang Dang Doodle by Howlin' Wolf. And then the next year, Chess put it out as an album called Howlin' Wolf. But that song is interesting. Willie Dixon wrote it, and eventually he recorded it. It wasn't until 1970, though, that he recorded it and put it out. The second guy after Howlin' Wolf was John Hammond. And after that, it was everybody. The Doors in 67 and Shadows of Night and, you name it. They were, well, 31 people anyway. Ronnie Hawkins, like Buddy Guy, and the list is almost endless, but there you have it, and that is the original Backdoor Man. Willie Dixon wrote, and Howlin' Wolf, you just heard him. Yeah, not the best mic'd studio, but nonetheless, there it is. All right, so 888-876-5593. That takes us to Leah in Marcus Hook. Welcome, Leah.
Hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call. How are you tonight?
Oh, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm really good. Before I get to why I called, I just wanted to tell you my favorite. Regarding like health gurus and stuff, my favorite line from a movie is Back to the Future 3. I know you probably haven't seen it, but you know the premise, right? They go back in time,
right,
and then they have to get back to the future.
Right, right,
well,
right.
In number 3, they're in the Old West,
uh-huh,
and there's a point where the doc is telling these people from the Old West about cars in the future. He said they're called automobiles. And you don't need a horse or a carriage, and they run without horses. And someone asks him, well, don't people run in the future? And he goes, yes, but they run for fun. And one guy goes, run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
Exactly. Yeah, boy, I'm with him there.
And that's my favorite movie line of all, you know?
Yeah. Well,
that's it right there.
I always say if you're running, somebody better be chasing you. Otherwise, there's no excuse.
That's it. I was like, if I were going to be buried, I'm going to be cremated. But if I were going to be buried, I would want that on my headstone, you know?
Yeah, boy.
But I called because we had a wonderful time tonight. We went, have you ever heard of these things, these seminars where you can go and you get like a free meal?
Oh, of course.
You listen to the seminar and then you get a free meal.
Of course. What was the seminar? Many, many, many. Which one was this on? Tell me the subject.
This was on investing.
Oh, so many of those.
Investing.
Oh, man,
yeah.
So many of those.
Well, we used to go to all these, like, before COVID. They used to have so many of them, like, in media and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then COVID hit, and they stopped them all. But this was, like, the first invitation we got since COVID. So we went. It was at Brandywine Prime in Chatsford. I don't know if you were ever there when you lived here.
I know what it is, of course.
Yeah, it's down by Brandywine River Museum.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And it was just beautiful. And, we had apps in the bar first, and I had a drink. Albert doesn't drink, of course, but I had a gin and tonic, and we had spring rolls. They were delicious. And then we went, because we got there early. Albert always likes to leave really early. So, and then we went up into the banquet room, and it was wonderful. He had the filet mignon.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I know, with the green beans and the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And then he had the bread pudding for dessert with ice cream.
Nice.
They had a house salad with avocado and blue cheese. And my God, it was delicious. I had the ravioli.
Oh. Well, this caused,
ravioli
this
with
set them back.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, this this set them back. If this is a free meal, whoa, this set them back. And I know they do investment seminars as far as that goes there, but and a lot of them are at the same restaurant, so I don't know what the connection is there. But I wonder how you got on the list, because it's not like you've got a spare, I don't know, 700 grand to invest.
He said the least amount you could invest was $25,000.
Which is almost nothing. But
but not to us. We don't even have that.
Well, that's what I mean. But even $25,000, a very, very low minimum. But even so, okay. So I wonder how you got on the list.
I don't know. It came in Albert's name, not
that's
mine.
That's wonderful.
So.
Yeah, I know when I was younger and poorer, I used to get the list of the Visitors and Convention Bureau to find out what conventions were coming to town. Because depending on what they were, you could go to the hospitality suites and have a full course dinner if you planned it right.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, and, you know, the AMA was always good with food. The medical stuff was always good with food. Investments were, too, especially those small stock markets. Yeah, they always had really good food. The rowdiest were funeral directors. By far the rowdiest, but with medical, the thing was all the pharmaceutical companies had the hospitality suites. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right. And we'll pick it up right there. I bet you could still do this too, by the way, on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Marvin Gaye, of course. That's HDH all the way. Holland Dozier Holland wrote it and produced it. Can I Get a Witness? 1963 on Tamla. All right, so 888-876. That's for Carrie. I'll get her another Marvin Gaye, too, before the end of the night. That's for sure. I've already picked it out. And so we've got Leah in Marcus Hook, and we're talking about free ways to get meals. And, yeah, conventions are good, but, you know, I think being on those lists for those pricey investment seminars, that's magnificent. I'd let them talk about anything they wanted.
Oh, yeah, it was great. He didn't talk that long either.
Well, man, I wish you could find out how you got on this list because you want to be on more.
I know. And you mentioned pharmaceutical companies. Oh, yeah. I know they like really wine and dine.
Oh,
people,
do they?
You know?
That's why I say I don't care what branch of medicine it is. It can be the psychiatrist. It can be anybody.
Yep.
You know that there's going to be some hospitality suites, and they are somewhere in that hotel going to have a standing rib roast. And boy, I'm going to be in line to get it. Yeah. And so, yeah. And places like, you know, when I lived in Bal Harbour, that's right by Miami Beach. So, of course, the Miami Beach Convention Bureau, this was in the 60s. Sure. A different convention every night.
Yeah.
You know, Las Vegas, when I was there, same deal. And,
sure.
You know, there's probably fewer now, but they're bigger. Conventions were great. When all else failed, weddings. If they were big enough weddings, you could almost always crash them because the groom people would think you were with the bride's family, and the bride's family would think you were with the groom's.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know. I'd be scared to get kicked out.
Well, then I'll tell you. Start easy. Plan for Halloween. Now, what you have to do is find a very pricey neighborhood where they're going to have a big Halloween in costume party. You see, then they'll never know who you are.
That's funny. We went to a bridal expo on Sunday.
Good.
At this big at the Chase Center in Delaware, on the riverfront.
That's good.
And it was nice. It was really nice. And I got free booze. And
that's probably available. I've never actually gone after that. I'm more the food myself, but yeah. I would think so. But there are just so many things you can successfully crash. You know, to this day, in fact, I don't know why, when I woke up yesterday morning, I was thinking, I wonder about some of those weddings. If like 30, 50 years later, they're looking at the picture saying, well, who is this? You know, because you invariably, you wind up in the pictures. So,
well, they could just put you on like Google and Google who you are. Right?
Well, I don't think anymore. You know, I think you have to be, you know, probably closer than 50 years difference in age. So,
Yeah.
I don't think that would work too well these days. But yeah, and they didn't have anything like that then, of course.
Yeah, but that's funny. Weddings, that's funny.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. I remember we were.
You have to pick what you eat before. You have to go to a buffet style wedding, right?
Well, not necessarily. They'll just ask you if you wanted the baked chicken ass or the whatever else it was. You know, you just yes, that was me. Uh huh. You know, what are they going to do? They just, you know, give you your chicken ass or whatever. And so yeah. That's not hard at all. I remember a billboard convention. This was 83, the year before I did that fateful one in Washington, D.C. 83, it was at the Huntington Sheraton in Pasadena. And this is one of these real blue blood kind of place. And I knew I was in trouble because some guy showed up in a limo and he walks into the place and he sees all these people who he looks at are miscreants. They're just actually AOR radio programmers. But anyway, he was just, you know, horrified. And he said, "What is this?" I said, "It's a radio convention." And he looked right at me and said, "Radio? That's past tense, my dear."
Right.
So later that night, I'm sure she'll remember it. I'm with Carol Ford and Barry Mayo, and Barry was programming a station at the time, and we crashed a wedding in the Huntington Sheraton. And yeah, exactly. And it was apparently a Jewish wedding because we did the hora, which is some kind of dance in a circle. And they were happy to have us there. And they knew we didn't belong there. But, you know, just take one look at us. We were not part of this wedding party, but they were more than happy to have us join them.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So absolutely. But yeah, I'm very impressed with the seminar. That's good going, man.
Filet mignon,
ranking a filet mignon. You're my hero. That's damn good.
Yeah, and it was delicious.
Oh, I bet it was.
Wonderful.
Right.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Well, yes, you'll have to increase your riches. Let me know what you're doing next.
Yeah, okay. Right. We're going to find some more. Now that COVID's over, I'm sure we'll get some more invites.
Oh, they'll bring it back by next week, but, you know, something will be available.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. It was great.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
It's a lovely restaurant. If anybody's listening in our area and wants to go to Brandywine Prime, they
can splurge. It is nice. It is nice. Chadsford has all sorts of places, even the Chadsford Tavern. Great cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, I'd love to go to the museum again, too. I haven't been for years. Yeah. The River Museum.
Sure.
With the Wyeth art.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And they got the place with the flowers and all that stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Longwood Gardens.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah, I just call it the place with the flowers. But yes, Longwood Gardens. Yeah, clearly I don't belong in the neighborhood, but the hell with it. All right. Well, thanks.
Okay,
appreciate
thanks,
it, Leah.
Me.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Actually, what's funny is we did live in Chadsford, and this is one of those houses that, this was the mold house where I got the mold, but we were there for a while, and, you know, some people talk about, oh, we've got this pictorial view and all this stuff. John and I were thrilled because we were walking distance to a Wawa. Yeah, I mean, and now we found out that Wawa has been converted into a bank, so I don't know. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So we got this call, and I don't remember if it was last Thursday. Or I think it was last Thursday, though it could have been Monday Night Trivia. I think, and I promised I'd play some Lena Horne, and I promised I would do this for Jane in Milwaukee. And I thought maybe it was Ain't It the Truth, because she was interested in something from the Cabin in the Sky movie. And we have all sorts of things for her to from which to choose, including one that Carol said, if you play this, no one's going to be listening. Well, I excerpt it. Yeah, you'll see exactly what I mean coming up on WGN Radio.
Life's full of consequence, but who's scared of consequence? Let's sip the honey while it's sweet. We could be messing round, but you is digressing round while I'm tossing nature at your feet. Why don't we mosey round? You could be cozy round the gal who could sprinkle you with spice.
But how about the consequence?
There it is. Yeah. The first minute of that is Rochester himself. And so I absolutely took Carol's comment to heart and said, we'll just cut to the part where Lena starts to sing Life's Full of Consequence. And yes, that is in Cabin in the Sky, 1943. And it was based on a Broadway musical. Also Cabin in the Sky. And it was the first feature film that Vincent Minnelli directed. And Ethel Waters, Eddie Rochester Anderson, and of course, Lena Horne, and Rex Ingram, and others. And I think all of them had been in the Broadway musical as well. And so that was actually Lena Horne's first and only leading role in an MGM musical, believe it or not. Louis Armstrong is also featured as one of Lucifer Jr.'s minions, and Duke Ellington have a showcase as well. So you may want to see that, but if not, Jane in Milwaukee wanted to hear. And I thought originally, well, you know, because the thing that I was always familiar with was Ain't It the Truth. The problem is that was cut. And the deal was Lena Horne sang Ain't the Truth while taking a bubble bath. And so, man, a little too racy. So that was cut. But, of course, it later appeared in various forms. But the interesting part is there was an interview with Lena Horne much later, and she said, well, they thought that a black woman singing in a bath went beyond the bounds of moral decency. I would think that anyone singing in a bath, but there was a second non-bubble bath performance by Louis Armstrong that was also cut from the final print, and so Louis had no solo number in the movie. But Ain't It the Truth, Louis Armstrong's version, survives and is in CD releases and all that kind of stuff. And as far as Lena Horne, well.
Life is short, short, brother, ain't it the truth? And there is no other, ain't it the truth? If you don't love living, you is slightly uncouth. Ain't it the dignified truth? Said that gal Dewberry, ain't it the truth? Life is cash and carry, ain't it the truth? You got to shake it down.
I think they should have kept it. Find some way to keep it, because it was just terrific. So anyway, all that is for Jane in Milwaukee. And I guess the other one, because she said her song that was going through her mind and she couldn't think of what one it was. And Carol said, you know, maybe, just maybe it's Honey in the Honeycomb. Well, maybe it is.
What have I got that the others ain't, that always seems to please? Ain't my perfume nor my fancy paints, but when I charm, the men all swarm, just like they was bees. There's honey in the honeycomb, there's sugar in the cane, there's oysters in a reed. to stew and bubbles in sweet champagne. There's jelly in the jelly roll.
And I'm sure if you want to see that, it's probably, hell, for all I know, it's all on YouTube. But if not, I'm sure it's on a DVD near you, no doubt. A Cabin in the Sky. And I think they spent well under $700,000 to make it. And I think they made right around $2 million. So not bad all the way around. So, yeah, that's the deal. And if you're wondering, it has to do with redemption and gambling debts and being resurrected by angelic powers. See, near-death experiences today have nothing on this movie. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on yours, if your mind, it will be on mine tonight. Clearly anything goes. So I'll look for other things of interest. And, of course, there's always slime from the checkout line. But I know Amanda says, don't read the tabloids. Just talk more about some R&B artists. So I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about Marvin Gaye, though. You probably know everything you need to know about Marvin Gaye, though. I will say that these days he probably don't have the best reputation, of course, killed by his father. But the early days, to a person, I don't know anybody who didn't say that he was a sensitive, sweet soul, and just loved him, and treated all the ladies, especially the ladies of Motown, with absolute respect. So rest in peace, Marvin Gaye. Like a lot of people, he was somewhat tortured, and I mean, the extreme example of that is probably Little Richard, where on the one hand, you know, you're steeped from childhood in Bible theocracy and all of this, and you're just afraid you're going to go to hell with the next turn. But the other hand, the devil's music is calling, and so I think there were a lot of people who had trouble sort of justifying the two going together, which is a real shame, because clearly they're not mutually exclusive, to say the least. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888, Raleigh, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. So like I say, it's one of these things where I get, oh, I don't know, I say 8,000, but literally hundreds of links from James. But very often I can't do a thing with them because they're tremendously political, and we're not going to go there as far as that goes, unless it's the royal family, of course. And yes, Prince Harry confused and hurt, or what have you. So we can talk about that if you want. But I think Amanda's onto something. Maybe more R&B. So what else? I think one of the things, when we look at just the heinous stories we see lately of people behaving badly, as I like to put as the subject for that. But when you're talking about an 11-year-old boy who could face manslaughter charges, he fatally shot an 8-year-old that his mother was babysitting. Now, this is where you say, I don't know, maybe we're getting to revelations, who knows, but an 11-year-old North Carolina boy. And we don't know who he is, of course, because he's a minor, and we know who the child is. Genesis Dockery, Fayetteville, near the base, July 25th, just an hour after she was dropped off at his relative's house to be babysat, and so she was rushed to the hospital and she didn't make it. So the boy has not been charged yet, because one of the problems that is going on now is when you have a kid under 12, and in some cases under 10, committing murder, there's really nothing on the books that provides for this. Now, of course, the first thing you should be saying is, now what about the adults? All right, well, it's unclear where the adults were in this story and what they did or didn't do, or whether they would be charged or not charged. So I do know that the Department of Juvenile Justice is looking at this. The sheriff's office says, charge him. Well, they're also looking for secured custody, because what you do with a child, it's not like you put him in jail And even Juvie Hall, you know, when we're talking about someone who has murdered someone else, this becomes difficult on where does it go. And apparently, Dockery, the girl who was killed, and her sister, who was there on the day of the shooting, were watched by this kid's relative, and I don't know if it was his mother or not, but on multiple occasions. And the boy allegedly stole guns out of a safe in the babysitter's home. And he, in fact, prior to the shooting, he put photos on social media, you know, I don't know what, TikTok, whatever, on social sites, showing him holding the guns. And here is the deal. If the safe was unlocked, that's bad enough. If the boy knew the combination, that's bad enough. And word is both are probably possible in this case. And so so it was that just a horrible story. And I don't know what else to say other than what do you do? And I guess we need to rewrite some of these codes so we figure out what you do. So, just a nightmare. All right. So, and I got a bunch of them like that, but those are the questions. Like, where does the justice system go when you're seeing children committing heinous crimes? All right. So what else? What else do we, well, lots of shootings, if that's what you're interested in. But and the horrible ones are either the ones that are committed by juveniles or the ones where the victim is, you know, under 5 years old, that kind of thing. Just horrendous. And unfortunately, we have more than one of those tonight. So I think we're going to be talking to Jim in New Hampshire about radio and music, which will be infinitely more uplifting, shall we speak. And I promise another Marvin Gaye coming up. But as I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We will not talk about the batches of voter registration forms suddenly found, all that kind of, from the last election, suddenly found and all that kind of stuff. And or who's dropping over dead from what. But as far as people behaving badly, oh yeah, no shortage on that and more. Coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Martha and the Vandellas doing backup vocals in that, uncredited, of course. But Pride and Joy, Mickey Stevenson, he produced it, co-wrote it, along with Marvin Gaye and Norman Whitfield. Got a number 2 on the R&B charts, 10 on the pop charts in 1963 on Tamla. All right, so yeah, that was right before Mickey Stevenson's Dancing in the Street came out. Man, it was a good year for him. And then Devil with the Blue Dress, the original, the Shorty Long, just a killer record. And boy, he was just on fire that year. So 888-876-5593. Now, I was talking about stars behaving badly. It's interesting to look at this because you might decide the other way around. But there's a fashion designer in Australia named Katy Perry. It's her birth name. and spells a little differently, K-A-T-I-E, but Katy Perry. And she's been a fashion designer selling stuff since 2006. And she's had the trademark as far as fashion wear since 2006. Well, Katy Perry now has a line of clothes. And so the deal is that, needless to say, the Australian fashion designer was worried, and you should be. On the one hand, you would say, and rightfully so, come on, you know, what's the real infringement? But you see, copyrights, trademarks, you have to defend trademarks. If you don't defend trademarks, you lose them. And that happens all the time. You know, words like escalator, that was a trademark, not defended. And that's why very often you'll see in business publications or whatever, you'll see Xerox taking out an ad saying a Xerox is not a copy. Because if ever it got to the point where Xerox and copy were totally synonymous, well, Xerox would lose the trademark. And it's just that simple. So on the one hand, I can see why this woman is thinking, I better file because there's a lot riding on it. But meantime, Katy Perry, the singer, loses in court. Well, she doesn't stop there. Now she's got her legal team ganged up on this Australian mother of two who, you know, does well in her little fashion business in Australia, but certainly not well enough to have a team of lawyers. And so what's going on here is Katy the star is basically going to starve this woman out, most likely, with legal bills. And, you know, you see that happen often. And most of the time, again, I had a friend who lost a chain of radio stations over this, sorry to say. And he was dead right on everything. Unfortunately, he won every battle but lost the war. He ran out of money and ultimately lost the stations, even though the Justice Department and all that said, no, you'll prevail. But, you know, we're not underwriting this suit. You have to sue civilly. So he did, much to his detriment, as it turned out. And on something like that, I would say clearly, black and white, walk away. You know, just let it lie. But in something like this, I don't know that this fashion designer can, because again, what would ultimately happen to her trademark if she didn't defend it? So she's saying that they may drain my finances, but I will never give up. So that's going to be interesting to see how that one goes. And I don't know. I'm sure the tabloids will write about it from time to time, and I'll try to keep you posted. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I don't care what it is. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Jim is in New Hampshire. So yes, he's still in New Hampshire. All right. Now, Jim, you've been there quite a while, and I mean, it's a little early to say winter's coming up, but are you planning to stay?
Actually, I think I'm going to do it again. Of course, I could I have no doubt that it will freeze this winter.
Well, it's gonna.
Oh, yeah, just how bad not known, but I...
Well, I told you, got some scientists makes it seem like the ice age is just around the corner. Now, of course, at this point, you're very wise. You're not in New Orleans in summer. Nobody should be. So I understand that. But
no.
I keep scratching my head when you're in New Hampshire in winter.
I can understand that.
And it's also not a great DXing location. So I don't know. So.
Yeah, locations, it's not very good. There is, for one thing, and I noticed this when I first came up here, there was a station on 870, and I don't know where they are, but it sounded like they were in French or something to that effect.
Of course. Well, think Quebec.
I thought they were. That's where they were.
Yeah,
I thought that's where they were, and I thought, wow, this is this is going to block WWL pretty good. I don't know if they have to protect the station in Quebec or not.
Well, but, see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I say think Quebec, of course, you know, and of course you're thinking of New Orleans, the Class A 870, obviously WWL, but there isn't anybody licensed to Quebec. You've only got three Canadian stations, because of course 870 is a U.S. clear, so there's only so much you can do with it.
Right.
You've only got three licensed in Canada. You got something with 500 watts at night in British Columbia, and you got something in Labrador with 500 watts, and you got something else in British Columbia with 250 watts, and we've just that's it. That is absolutely all you've got. And so
I wonder if that Labrador is a CBC, because
it's CFXX.
I heard them once.
And it was originally a repeater, and then they got their own transmitter, and they had been at 910, but I think they moved to 870 in the 80s. And but they went dark, but they're back. And what they're doing now is they're a repeater for CFCB. That's the deal. And when it was CFXX, SX, it was a daytime operation as far as their local programming, but it was a nighttime repeater. I don't know, because you've got CFX also repeated a couple of other stations, and one of them was definitely French language, because I can't even pronounce the name of the city. It's like Port-au-Basque or something, you know. So,
one time you mentioned CKGM.
Oh, yeah.
Montreal.
Yeah.
Now, were they quite a good
They were English. They were the big top 40 station. I still have the T-shirts. They were just wonderful. And I think they're probably still English. I think Bell owns them, you know, Bell Media.
It wouldn't surprise me if they were TSN, which is Canada's ESPN radio.
Right. They changed frequencies, because when they were the big top 40 station, they were at 980. And then they were at 990, and now they're at 690. So they have changed.
Wow.
Yeah, they've changed frequencies. But CK Greater Montreal, CKGM, Greater Montreal. And they went on the air in 1959. And I'll tell you, back in the day, they were just really a big deal, top 40, I thought. In any event.
Used to hear of one there called, and I don't know if I think it was it a CBFT or I don't know. I
No, I don't think so.
It was an MOR up there in Montreal. I don't, you know.
Right. Oh, there were. There absolutely were. CKGM was just the big deal, top 40, no doubt about it, in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an interesting story. One evening, I happened to be tuning around, you know, and you mentioned New Orleans for a great DX, the DXing area. I was tuning around one night, and I never got them again, but this was like at 2 a.m. in the morning. I was up and awake, and I was tuning around, and all of a sudden, I hit 14 CFON.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
Vancouver.
They were hitting New Orleans pretty good. And if I didn't know better, I would have thought it was CK, you know, CKLW, but I knew it wasn't them.
Right.
And but then I started listening, and I heard 14 C-Fun, and mm-hmm. I thought, wow.
Yeah, 1410. You know, it went dark this mm-hmm. summer.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm afraid it did. Oh, and they were C-Fun C-Fun on 1410 from like 55 to 69, and then again from 73 to 2009. And yeah, uh-huh. they went dark.
Oh, so, my gosh.
The last thing they were doing before that was they were doing BNN, some, I think, Bloomberg News Network. And
Yes.
And mm-hmm. what it was, you know, here again, Bell Media, they made some cuts, and they sold yep. some stations, yep. and they just signed some off. And they signed the 1410 and also the 1040, which was a comedy station there. And, you know, they no longer have yeah. any audience, to say the least. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, history, the idea to think about, you know, C-Fun. Oh, man, they dominated
oh,
everybody.
Gosh.
You know, Terry Mulligan sure. and J.B. Shane and John Tanner and uh-huh. Don Franks, Al Weaver. You know, there were so many people who
yeah.
worked there. And they were, yeah, in fact, Duke Roberts worked there for a while, too. But, yeah, C-Fun was just great. And, of course, Red Robinson,
yeah.
you know, Red Robinson, the absolutely the best.
Oh, sure, sure. I've heard a lot of folks up that way talk about him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he recently died. But, you know, in fact, Red had always said that they were the victim of their own success because he was always complaining about the commercial load. Hang on a minute, don't go away. And
yeah, sure.
That, of course, is true with so many stations, unfortunately. So we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Of course, that's Jackie Wilson on Brunswick. Yeah, Squeezer Teaser, 1964. And that was just that's a terrific record. What made me think of Jackie was this is a big week for him all the way around. And it was on this week in 1966. So what was he recording? I'm trying to think. Whispers, actually Whispers Getting Louder was released this week in 1966. And a year later this week, Higher and Higher. Yeah, Renard Minor. Co-writer, you betcha. So, yeah, that's that was 67. So a couple big things at the end of August for Jackie. And Squeezer Teaser was nice, too. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we were talking with Jim in New Hampshire. And we will again. And we got John in Covington. And there's room for you, too. But right now, finding out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
I want you to have everything. I want you to wake up in the morning and listen told me that you loved me. I'm gonna show you what love is. I don't believe that you know. Gotta see your hand, babe, everywhere that you go. Oh, since you told me that you love me, I believe that it's true. And I want you to know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Oh, man. Such mixed feelings about that. 1964 on D-Tone, D-Town, Lee Rogers. I want you to have everything. Now, why I've got mixed feelings is this, once again, I think it's justifiable homicide when a recording engineer overmodulates a record. I think you can go shoot them. And I actually shouldn't even joke about that, and I am joking. But I can't imagine an infraction from the annals of recording engineering worse than overmodulating something, and that happened on that Lee Rogers record. D-Town, by the way, it is Detroit, but it doesn't stand for Detroit Town. It was named after D. Edwards, and it was owned by Mike Hanks, who co-wrote that that song. And as far as Lee Rogers, he was actually Roger Lee was his. He took his name backward. Rogers Lee Creighton was the guy's name. Sadly, died. I think it was like 1990 in Memphis, and born in Mississippi. So he was. Interestingly, born in Mississippi, died in Memphis, so you'd say, oh man, well, he's a guy who's Southern all the way. No, he mostly was in Detroit, and best known for I Want You to Have Everything. So Johnny Goin wanted to hear that, and I'm happy to play it. All right, now back to Jim in New Hampshire for a moment. And Jim, we last left you with a homework assignment. Don't think I'm letting you get away with that. On old-time radio, we heard National Symphony's Fantasy in C Major. What the hell was that doing on that? Did you figure it out?
Well, actually, I actually didn't hear it last night.
Yeah,
and I was looking for it.
Yeah, it's kind of there as filler. You can see it on their lineup. So I guess we'll still wonder.
Yeah, and you know, because I want to. Hear this also.
Yes, exactly. And, well, keep listening, you know, because you will. I'm convinced.
Oh, I'm
you will.
Certain I'm certain I shall, because they
well,
they that's one of the things that they put in when they're going to the next thing they're going to run.
right. When they run out of dramas or fantasy or whatever, they come up with a fantasy in C major. Yeah. All right.
Oh yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Well, let me know what you discover on that.
I will, and I want to thank you for playing. That's what love is made of.
Yeah.
That knocks me out every time I hear it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is serious Tamala Motown stuff there. Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, well, we'll be doing it again, I'm sure. All right, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
You know it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye
now. And you know, my quest, of course, is to find out who the Vitones are on Shamal number one. We played some of Blue Moon last night because, of course, there was a Blue Moon. And I talk about this record, but I did a lot of work on this in the past, never could find anything out. But today, I might have hit the motherlode of some information. I have reason to believe that it is a Seattle record, Seattle Tacoma. And what I did was I took the Shamal number one. There is no Shamal number two. And, you know, so we don't know who Mr. Shamal was, but I have reason to think that that was not a name. I'll get to that. But here is the deal. I looked at the publishing on this 45 and looked back at it, and Bonnie Guitar was in that, which, of course, you know, immediately tells me Seattle and a couple others. Well, then I also started to look at more things I could find out about this. And the Fabulous Pearls, who, oh, man, weren't they great? Yeah, I thought. And we played some of their stuff. But nonetheless, they were from Tacoma. And they'd been on the base near that. So I thought, man, I wouldn't be surprised if the Fabulous Pearls had become the Vitones, although I don't know where they got the lead singer. So I don't know that yet. But one of the people involved with publishing and all that was Jerry Denon. Now, he had a label, Jordan, for Jerry Denon, there as well, which, you know, had like one release that you might know of. Well, actually, you'd never know of it, but one release that would qualify for top 40, kind of, sort of. And yeah, in a roundabout saying, you know, they didn't have a lot of releases. Oh, well, the reason why did they have a lot of releases? Well, I should tell you about one of them. The original Kingsman Louie Louie. Yeah, right. So that put them big time on the map. Plenty of time to go ahead and find out, you know, what else you want to record. So that was the deal there. So now I was thinking, well, if Jordan was Jerry Denon, then what if Shamal is like Charlie Marlboro or something? Who knows? I mean, in other words, it may be a contraction of a name. And there is no Shamal number two. And, yeah, so Robbins Music Corp was the publisher, and Bonnie Guitar, Don Robertson, and Jerry Denon were all involved with that. And, of course, Jerry Denon, Jurden. So that's the Seattle connection. So, and, yeah, he sure did well selling that Kingsman record to one. But in any event, yeah, I think we've now found a location for them, but still cannot find a thing about them anywhere. And, yeah, but I do think the Fabulous Pearls might be in the background. So, you know, I bring this up every now and then, hoping that somebody is listening who will say, oh, I know all about that, and I'll tell you. You know, Val Shively, who usually knows everything, you know, 5 million 45s under one roof, best record store in the world. I asked him about it, and he said, well, I paid $1,000 for the 45. I said, what do you know about it? And he said, nothing. So that told me this is going to be hard to get any information. But if you missed it, her especially, I want to know who she is, and I want to know who they were. And, yeah, I'd like to know what Shamal is as well, since they only had one release. But I'm thinking it's a contraction. Could be the Fabulous Pearls in the background. I'm not sure. Oh, it also says on the label it's got some like, what was his name? Harrigan Trio. But I can't find him either. But and sadly, Bonnie Guitar died in 2019. And I wish that I had come across this sooner, because I swear I would have called her, because something that tells me she would have known. But she made it to 95 years old and died just about 4 years ago. So, yeah. And she had not been doing that well in her later years, but hell, at 95. All right. So nonetheless, and if you don't know who Bonnie Guitar was, she was one of the first country singers to cross to the pop charts with Dark Moon. And she wasn't huge in country and she wasn't huge in pop, but that crossover thing was just really a miracle. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And before we do anything else, we'll get to John in Covington and Eduardo in Tampa, and there's plenty of room for you. But right now, it's the moment you've been waiting for. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party, trying to get in touch with me. She could not leave her number, but I know who placed the call, 'cause my uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who'd phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on a ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was Mike in Mount Pleasant who said, could you play Chuck Berry, Memphis, Tennessee? And that was a while ago. Hopefully Mike is listening, because it's been too long that I hadn't played it. You know, that song, of course, was completely ruined for me by Joey Reynolds. Yeah, I know. Peck's Bad Boy in Radio. Yeah, Joey came out with a great little song in about 1977, 78. Ma Bell, You Got Me by the Calls.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm in a payphone in Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
Let me sweat. Ma Bell, you've got me by the call.
Information.
For what city, sir?
Give me Memphis, Tennessee.
Sounds like the song. Hold on. Do you know you can dial directory direct, sir?
Long distance information?
Uh-huh.
Give me Memphis, Tennessee.
Hold on, I'll connect you.
Could you help me find a party that tried to get in touch with me?
What is the number you want to call?
Well, she couldn't leave her number, but I know who placed the call. My uncle took the messaging, placed it on the wall.
Is this a residence or is it a business?
Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie.
Marie who?
This is the telephone company in Memphis, and I'll have to have more information than just the name Marie in order to give you a telephone number.
She's the only one who'd phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee.
I know the last name. I'm the first name. Marie is the last name.
I'm asking, do you have her address?
Her home is on the south side, high on a ridge, just a half mile from the Mississippi Bridge.
Sir, we check by the name only. We have no way to check by the house on the ridge.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yes.
What would I do in a case like this?
America's great, but I believe.
So, of course, every time I hear the Chuck Berry record, all I can think about is the Joey Reynolds song. Yes, Ma Bell, You Got Me by the Calls. All right, yes, truly a classic. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. John is in Covington. All right, John.
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Three things. I hope they'll be quick. Okay. Have you ever, my great nephew asked me this question a couple of days ago, and I don't know what to tell him. Is there a word for when you pick something up and you anticipate it? And he used the word anticipate it. He's cute as can be, 9 years old. Anyway, when you anticipate something being really heavy, but it's not, and before you know it, it's over your head. Is there a word for that?
That's a great question. I cannot think of one. I love that.
I have racked my brain, and it's like, well, Xander, I'll tell you what, if maybe we'll call it the Xander. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know, because obviously it's, you know, it's a weight size illusion. We know what it is, and it's a misjudgment, but I do not think there is a word for other than blunder, but that, you know, that's all purpose. I don't know. I know of nothing specific for that. I love it.
And then the other thing, you mentioned Vincent Minnelli. Now, this is always good if a party's dragging. I've known this for 30 years, but if there is a party that's dragging or something, this kind of gets things going. It's like a father, a mother, and a daughter have all won the EGOT. Name them without using your phone.
Oh, I can't do that.
No, it's very easy. It's Vincent Minnelli, Judy Garland, and Liza Minnelli.
Okay.
Collectively, they have won the EGOT.
Well, how about that? I've never heard of
that.
So I guess EGOT would be what? Like Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony?
You got it.
Never heard of this before. That's an actual.
No kidding.
That's an actual thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. the first one, Helen Hayes, was like the second one to win it. Barbara Streisand has it. I think there's seven people would have it.
The only person I would know who would qualify for this would be Mel Brooks.
That I don't know if he's in that.
Oh,
group
I'll
or
just
not.
Betcha.
And then the other thing, I was listening to the Platters this afternoon.
Yeah.
And this is just my opinion, but wouldn't the song My Prayer, wouldn't it be better if once they got to the bridge, if they dropped it an octave or maybe two? Don't you think it would have been better? I do.
By the way, I should mention we're no longer on the air. They're in news. I blew that. But I did not like the Platters on their Mercury period. So I love them on Federal and I loved them on Music Core, but I did not like those Buck Ram classics. And of course, those were their big sellers. So I can't argue with success. I just don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, officially, we are in news. And so after the news, we will officially talk to Eduardo in Tampa. So now I got to look up this EGOT thing. Never heard of it. All right. But I'm pretty sure that Mel Brooks is on that list. Anybody else? I don't know. All right. So 888. Why am I giving you the phone number? All I'm talking to is Eduardo and a few people listening to the stream or replay. All right. So we'll just leave it right there.
It's trial time.
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Alvin Cash and the Crawlers. Yeah, mostly dancers, actually. But guess who wrote that? Andre Williams. Yeah, and Verley Rice. But it was. They were the first to write, well, they're the only to write it. And Alvin Cash and the Crawlers were the first to release it in 1964 on Marvelous. Yeah, one of the great, wonderful labels of Chicago. And on all of them, the Marvelous, and you should be familiar with the label, I would hope. But anyway, it says right on it, September 12th, 1963. All of them. I have no idea what that date meant to the Leaners, who owned the labels. But it must have meant something, because it certainly wasn't the release date, because it didn't vary. It just says September 12th, 1963. Marvelous. So what is that? Well, I know in 1964 it was Twine Time. Andre Williams, yes, with Alvin Cash and the Crawlers doing it. They were dancers, like I say. That was a different thing. All right, now before I get back to it, and we will hear in a moment, my mind wanders. No, really? And and I said I was going to look up to what guy it was who died on the Dick Cavett show, who was saying he was going to live forever. And this started, of course, with, sadly, the 33-year-old fitness guru and influencer who dropped dead of a heart attack recently. But it was June of 1971, and anybody who says they saw this Dick Cavett show is lying, because it actually wasn't seen. But it was, they used to tape it earlier in the evening for replay later that night in New York City. Well, so who they had on was Rodale. Now, I don't know if you know this guy, but you probably know his publishing in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. Sustainable agriculture and organic farming and all sorts of interesting things that Rodale has published. I wouldn't be surprised that you didn't have one of their books. Well, the guy who was the founder of that was Jerome Irving Cohen, and born in New York City in 1898. And so he was 72 on June 8th, 1971. And I will say that he was somewhat concerned with his health, because he was rejected from the Army in World War I for bad eyesight. And so what they found when they looked at that was, oh, wait a minute, never mind your eyesight, you've got heart murmurs. And so at that point, this is, the teens, 1917, 1918, he gets really into his health. And that's what led to the growth of Rodale, which is a great little publisher. Don't get me wrong. They're really neat. And so Rodale Press, and they have books and magazines and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be surprised that you've got some on your bookshelf, especially organic horticulture and all that. So Prevention Magazine, that was a Rodale. There were others as well. So, and he did other things on the side. He was a playwright, and he worked for the IRS for a while. And it's interesting, because he was really, really more of a naturopath. You had a lot of the medical establishment of the day saying he's a promoter of quackery. Yeah, well, he was a little out there. He was saying that sugar caused criminals, and bread caused bronchitis and pneumonia, and drink too much Coca-Cola and you'll be sterile. Well, okay, so that's a little out there. But as you know from some of the things we now know about dietary influences on your health, he wasn't 100% off on some of this. He was absolutely anti-vaccine. And he was a racist. I don't know to the degree that he was just ignorant, but he said that Negroes get less cancer because they're a happy race. What can I say? So needless to say, he was a little out there. He took 70 food supplements a day. And, of course, there were a number of people like Quack Watch who were saying, oh, stay away from this guy. All right. So anyway, here it is. It's June 8th, 1971. And here he is on the Dick Cavett Show, and they're taping it in New York. And during the interview, he said, I'm in such good shape that I fell down a flight of stairs yesterday and I laughed all the way. I've decided to live 100, to live to be 100. I've never felt more better in my life. I'm going to live to be 100 unless I'm run down by some sugar-crazed taxi driver. Well, that's the last thing he said before he died. Actually, before he died, he had offered Dick Cavett his special asparagus boiled in urine. I know that's enough to kill anyone. But so there he is. He's done the interview, and he's on stage. He's sitting on the couch beside the next interviewee, who happened to be a guy from the New York Post, Peter Hamill. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Pete Hamill's interview, Rodale makes the death noise. It's kind of like a snoring sound. If you've ever heard, I've heard people do this, unfortunately, and then they just drop dead. And yeah, it's one of those, I can't explain it, but it's like the motor stops. But all of a sudden, he makes this noise and just slumps over. And Hamill, the columnist, leans over to Dick Cavett and says, "This looks bad." And so Cavett thought that, well, no, this is comedic relief. He's feigning disinterest in the interview. And in fact, he said, "Are we boring you, Mr. Rodale?" As only Dick Cavett could, although later he said he doesn't remember saying that. But others around said, oh, yeah, he said it. But regardless, it wasn't long before he realized the severity of the situation. They asked if there were any doctors in the house, and an internist and an orthopedic surgeon, both residents at the time, rushed onto the stage, tried to revive him with, CPR. Well, turned out that he couldn't. And Cabot later, when he was on Johnny Carson talking about this a decade later, said firefighters from across the street came to Rodale's aid, and EKG showed there was some cardiac activity, but he couldn't be revived, and he was pronounced DOA at Roosevelt. And so the episode was never broadcast. So if you know anybody who says they saw it, they didn't. But that was the guy. "I'm going to live to be 100, flump. Yeah, man. I know I shouldn't laugh, but it's hilarious. All right, so with that in mind, Brian is in Joliet. So, all right, Brian, what's up tonight?
Hi, Rally. Thank you for taking my call so soon.
Oh, yes.
I really appreciate it. Forgive me, Rally, I have sinned. I slept through my alarm.
Then you missed it. You missed it. All right, well, so here's the deal. I played Backdoor Man, played the original. And so, you know, after the show, I digitize it, and I put it up on Raleigh.net. You can just click on Downloads, and it'll be there, and you can hear it.
Well, you see, I'm not online any longer. I see, I've been on the, I've been under the weather now, well, actually for about 2 years. My kidneys have been operating at about 30% capacity for the last 2 years,
That's
and I have
tough.
High blood pressure.
Sure you do. No, I mean, they're connected, as you know.
And there's certain times where I just get fatigued.
Yes.
And I set the alarm, and I slept through it, and I was so miffed because, for me, you're the,
Well, you missed Howlin' Wolf. Yeah, I missed the original. He did the original in 1960-61. Willie Dixon wrote it, but Willie Dixon didn't do it till 1970, but Howlin' Wolf did it in 60.
Well, you know, it was, I'm really down to, like, plenty of relatives out there left, but only really about two of them who care much about me one way or the other. I call up to moan about that, but that makes a show like yours extremely important to me, and it helps me a lot, you know, in my kind of isolation. They said that, I won't say names, but they said I was supposed to, they suggested about 2 years ago, two of them, that I'd have to be on dialysis, and I said, I'm not going to do that. And they got it wrong, because if they said that, you know, and I'm still here 2 years later, and I can still function very fine,
sure.
You know, kind of homebound, but I can still function
sure.
very fine, and I didn't want to go on dialysis.
No,
so.
it's a personal choice, obviously. In fact, my morning man on my country station in Globe, his wife sadly eventually succumbed, but she lived for several years after they said she had to go on dialysis, and she watched her brother die from infections related to that, and she said, "I'm not doing that," and so she didn't. And, you know, like I say, she made it a good long while, but eventually it was down to like 3%. For almost a year, she was down to 3% kidney function. So, yeah, it's a personal choice, and I would support you no matter what. Now, since I played the Howlin' Wolf, what I'll do for you is Willie Dixon wrote it, and he recorded it himself in 1970, and I'll play that version for you.
Well, may I say something? You're going to be on Trivia Monday,
yes.
Right?
Labor Day. Of course I am. Yes, live show on Labor Day.
And I wanted to remind you and any members of your audience once again, in case they didn't catch it, on Monday. It's not a political plug. Could I say this?
No, the Little Richard Show. Sure.
Which channel it'll be on?
Yeah, sure. I don't care.
Well, they reported that it would be on CNN,
uh-huh.
and I would suspect it would be either 7 p.m. Central or 8 p.m. Central. Hopefully, it'll be a two-hour. I know they reported it because I heard Mick Jagger praising Little Richard, and they had some film. But you know the way they work on these networks. They can change their minds,
all right, well,
too.
According to the release that CNN put out, it will be at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is the deal. But this says, yeah, it will premiere on September 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern, so that would be 8 p.m. Central.
And did it say it'd be a couple hours or just 1 hour?
Well, they sent the press release. I guess I'd have to read it. Let's see what it says. All right. Hearing all about Little Richard. Tell me more. Now you're telling me the history of CNN. I don't care. It does not say. Okay, so there's another way to find this, of course. A CNN film. Little Richard, I Am Everything. Running time. That's what I'm going to look is for the running time. 1 hour and 38 minutes, so it'll be a two-hour special.
Oh, that's super. That makes me very happy. I'm really looking forward to that. Unfortunately slept through it, would it be possible to play Little Richard, Richard Petiman's Lucille?
All right, would you rather hear that as opposed to the Willie Dixon version of Backdoor Man? Lucille it is. I'll play you Lucille, no problem, on specialty. You got it.
Well, I really appreciate it, and again, sure. I want to thank you and John so much, for especially you, but also John, and you're in my thoughts and prayers for your good health, because I look forward to your show right now more than any other radio or TV show.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. We're very glad to have you. I'm going to wind up recording this show because John Waters directed it, and I can only imagine what that's going to be like. So I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Riley, so much for taking my call so quickly, and God
Absolutely.
Bless you and John.
All right, thanks. Yeah, so...
Bye-bye.
So John Waters, well, you know, and of course some Hairspray, that's the that's the one we can tell the world about. But of course, then again, well, there is Pink Flamingo. So, yeah, with that in mind, anything could go on this, I would assume, and it probably will. So, oh, my dear. Yeah, John Waters was a big fan of the Buddy Dean Show. But he's, man, demented. It should be his picture next to the word in the dictionary. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Riley, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, well, speaking of Little Richard, just a little thing on that, because I'm listening on iHeart. That's been promoted quite extensively on iHeart.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have CNN, but I would love to see that. That would be great.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to hearing about it. You'll talk about it later next week.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be happy to. But sure,
yeah.
You know, I can't imagine John Waters. Okay, well, why not? So it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, so this I like this DW, and I found out about them through PBS because you know they have BBC and France 24 and all those like international news. But the DW, they're like German Deutsch news and. if you go on their latest videos, they have some pretty interesting stories, some that are serious, some that are fun. Mm-hmm. But this one on China was pretty interesting for me. China U 20%. And I was watching these young people trying to get a job with one of the airlines. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it starts with an H, N-A-N, H-A-I-N-A-N, N-A-N, airlines. And they were so strict on their posture, the way their nails were and all that. And they have an overabundance of graduates. And so there's very little jobs that they can fill. And then they were told by the powers be, well, you know, if you can't find something, you can always hit the farm. But some of them were saying, I'd rather starve than go and hit the farm. So,
well, yeah.
It's a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah. No, Hainan is the, not the largest by any means. I think it's like the fourth largest of any of them. Air China is the, you know, is big. And I guess the biggest is China Eastern, actually. But in China, they got China Southern, too, which is a big fleet. But they're not all big planes, but Air China, a lot of people know. And yeah, Hainan. But China right now has some pretty severe economic problems. And not only the youth unemployment, which is at an all-time high, we think. Now, I say we think because it's China. I don't know that anything we get from them is necessarily accurate. But they've had a deflationary problem. But I think the biggest threat is the debt that China's local governments are in. And some put the liabilities of local financing, you know, the various states, if you will, whatever they have that are provinces, I guess. I don't
right.
know, $10 trillion.
Wow.
And so that level of debt is huge. And so that's probably more than anything why I think Biden was quoted as calling the economy a ticking time bomb. Well, yeah. That would be absolutely true. Hang on a minute. Stay right where you are. We're going to pick it up right here in moments on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Lucille! So, yes, 1957 specialty. Of course, Little Richard, and that's for Brian and Joliet. And did I mention that Alvin Cash, when I played that record, was for Stephanie and Madison? Well, that's why that came up. All right, so we're talking to Eduardo in Tampa. And yes, China is worrisome. And when you realize how much interdependency there is, for better or worse, between our economy and their economy, it is of concern.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing the R word coming back, you know, recession, so who knows?
Well, you know, those words, recession's when your neighbor's out of work, depression's when you are. But when you're looking at 10 trillion in local government financing debt, that's there's a lot of off the books lending. And the other thing is, well, you know, they have funding bodies, and it's weird because they facilitate regional infrastructure projects this way. And a lot of things are not on the books, whether it's a highway or an airport or whatever. And so it's their way to get around government constraints. So there's what they're concerned about now is, when I say $10 trillion of local debt, I'm really saying $10 trillion of hidden debt. Money that's not on the books, not on the budget. And this has been growing exponentially since 2008, because China, like the rest of the world, was hit with all the changes with the Bank of International Settlements, obviously. And the other thing that China at the time had remarkable growth. I mean, so much growth that they absolutely had to shore up their infrastructure. And in fact, they couldn't do it fast enough. And so now you're dealing with a situation where it could be as much as $10 trillion that's not on the on the books. And you look at China's entire financial system, it's about $60 trillion. So that's a number that's worrisome.
And I wrote this on my memo pad because this is just like one example, but a place called Montenegro.
Montenegro, sure.
I guess they built a highway for them.
Okay.
So they've been going around building things for different countries, you know, different projects, but I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Well, I don't know that that is necessarily relating to this level of debt, because I think those projects are on the books, and theoretically they're being paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... what is scary about this is $10 trillion that's not covered by any economy that we have any, well, we don't have it anyway, but I mean that they have any real accountability for.
Okay.
So, you know, I know that there are issues with the deal. That road, I don't think, is complete. And I think that it is a billion-dollar road, but and that's a different problem, but I don't think that has anything to do with a hidden debt.
Okay.
And so, but it's a nice road, the part that opened so far. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Maybe it is part of the debt, but I don't think so. I think that's on top of this.
Yeah. Another thing I'm going to get off right here so you can get some other callers here. Turkey, with that earthquake they had in February, I saw this on DW2, and there's still a lot of people that are homeless. They're in shelters or containers. And I was looking up like a consulate, I guess, where you can donate stuff or something like this just to help people out. And like over here, there wasn't anything in Tampa, but there was one in Miami on 8th Street, consulate of Turkey. So. If anybody wanted to help out, I mean, like if you're, depends on where you are, you know.
Right. Well, be careful. Something. You want to make sure. In fact, there was an article I came across the street, across my desk today, and it was Gordon who had emailed it to me about a telemarketing fraud scheme, which was just that, you know, the type thing of asking people to donate to this, that, and the other, and the whole thing was a scam. And so, absolutely, they could use the donations, but I think it is really incumbent upon anybody willing to give anything that they do some research about who they're giving it to.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... And so much of the world economically is hurting and has been hurting. And unfortunately, that's nothing new. But, you know, what would happen in a Chinese economic collapse? That's the question that nobody can answer. But it certainly is worrying people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully things get better for everybody.
Well, yeah, that's why I just play my R&B oldies. So when are you going to hear from Marriott?
Oh, yeah. So they said they'd be reaching out either today or tomorrow, but I have their direct email and phone number, and I'm going to call them tomorrow because Monday's Labor Day.
Right, exactly. And I thought I was hoping you'd hear something today, so hopefully. But, you know, then again, with the holiday coming up, they might not do it till the middle of next week. But by all means, let me know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to follow up with them tomorrow because we're heading into the holiday weekend. So
Good.
Hopefully I'll have something set up for next week.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right. So, this actually was a Wisconsin individual who is facing possibly 100 years in prison, in other words, forever, in a telemarketing fraud scheme. And it's a couple of guys, one in Nevada, one in Wisconsin, who were arrested that they carried out separate telemarketing scams, cheating people out of millions of dollars. So Manhattan federal court lodged the charges. It was Richard Zeitlin, 53 years old, of Las Vegas, and Robert Fierro, 73, of Fredonia in Wisconsin. And this is obviously federal. Apparently, the men lied to donors, falsely letting them believe that most of their donations were going to help various things, veterans, law enforcement officers, breast cancer, you name it. But what they were doing, of course, was stealing it. And the way they were doing it is interesting. They were getting 90%, and the other entities were getting 10%. But how they were having the other entities formed was very interesting. And all this, by the way, 3 years of telemarketing. That's where they got it. And we're talking about a boatload of money. And little donations, each one of them, but adding up to a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. And so what they had were these call centers where they had raised literally hundreds of millions of dollars for charities. Well, charities, as you know, Charity Watch and all that, have to report. They have to report how much of the donation is going to this, that, or the other. Well, but what if you don't do it as a charity? What if you do it as a PAC, a political action committee? Ah, well, now you don't have to report anything. And so individuals, you know, might have thought they were donating to charities, but they were donating to PACs. And so when these two rocket scientists thought of this, Zeitlin began using the call centers to defraud people in 2017, you know, falsely describing how their money would be spent and the nature of the organizations that would receive the money. And, you know, of course, it's not him personally. He's training all the employees, all the people on the phone, to mislead donors into thinking they were donating to charities rather than to PACs. And their money would go... really, not only toward the organization, it would go to the telemarketers more than in 90%. So apparently, in a five-year period, Fierro made false statements and misrepresentations in over $28 million in dollars cases. And so things like Americans for the Cure of Breast Cancer and the Association for Emergency Responders and Firefighters and the U.S. Veterans Assistance Foundation and Standing By Veterans, those all sound like good charities, don't they? Well, they're PACs and the political action committees. And the only reason they were PACs, of course, is to get around all the charitable requirements for transparency and disclosure. So this was a couple of conspiracy counts, wire fraud, obstruction of justice, and like I say, 100 years in prison. And Fierro, it was wire and mail fraud, and he's about 60 years in prison. So either way, that was the big news. So Gordon sent that over, and thanks, Gordon. It was somewhat of a reminder that, yes, these things go on all the time. So when Eduardo was saying things like, you know, donate to the people in Turkey, I think that's a great idea. But before you give them a dime, make sure you know who you're donating to, that it is a legitimate charity, and you can look up their financials online. See, that's why they wanted to do a PAC, because they didn't want you to look up the financials. But in a legitimate charity, yes, you can. You can find out exactly the percentage of dollars that go to the cause. And it's an easy way to rip people off. And I guess it was a dollar here, a dollar there. They didn't think they'd get caught. The article I read didn't explain why they were targeted. I mean, obviously they're breaking the law, but how do they come to the government's radar? That I don't know. So that's the deal with that. 888-876-5593 is 888-88-RALEIGH. Tomorrow it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia from this Monday. And then Monday, Labor Day, live Monday Night Trivia from 10 to 1 Central. You betcha we'll be on live. Unless gypsies come to get me in the middle of the night, I'll be doing the show. I'm not expecting the gypsies, but we are going to the Tucson Comic Con on Saturday, so anything could happen, because I do expect a few aliens. So We'll get to Karen and Madison. And there's, in fact, I even have a request. I think it's for Karen that I had this request coming up next. We'll find out. And no, it was Karen in Chicago, one of the Manhattan, searching for my baby. All right. Well, either way, I think we'll probably play that next, coming up on WGN Radio.
Has anybody seen?
See, my baby says she ran away.
I've been so lonesome.
We need each and every day.
I'm tired of searching.
Searching east and west and all over town.
Will somebody please
tell me where my baby can be found?
Wouldn't be lonely,
lonely
if you'd only
ride
or
walk.
I caught a bus.
I'm Raleigh James. So Carrie in Chicago loves the Manhattans, and so do I on Carnival, that's for sure. Blue Lovett wrote that, Searching for My Baby. There's a flip side of I'm the One That Love Forgot on Carnival, and that was 1965. Joe Evans, who owned the label, he produced that. Yeah, both sides. Fine song. Absolutely fine. Now, but Karen and Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio. Karen.
Hi. Monday night, I was cut off at the end and then fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you could just tell me the other country besides Nauru that was.
I can tell you all of them. There were four others, because there are five countries in the world where women smokers outnumber men: Norway, Sweden, Papua New Guinea, the Cook Islands, and Nauru.
Oh, and when I said Iceland, I was thinking Scandinavia,
yeah,
but then went over the island. Well, thank you.
Well, sure.
The other problem I'll take up next week.
Oh, yeah? What are we going to be talking
about? Working on. Oh, that thing where I'm listening to the radio station, and, you know, it's coming out of the radio, I mean, out of the computer, because
yeah,
it's... you know, WBZ is supposed to go 38 states, but it's just short. But
well,
this error in playback, you know, comes up and cuts off the volume.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It's maddening, but, you know, it's too exhausting for this time of night.
All right. Is it WBZ that gives you the problem in particular?
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah, and it's okay. iHeart Radio.
Okay.
They come from iHeart Radio. So when I listen to it, you know, and maybe it's them and their problems at the station or something.
Well, I'll find out for you. I'll also find out if there's another way to hear that stream besides iHeart.
Yeah, like tune in or... Right,
yeah,
you know,
I'll.
I guess I could ask them.
Yeah, well,
but
you know.
Thank you.
I will find that out, and I will let you know next week.
Okay, I will be listening.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks
All right.
a lot.
Good deal.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, streaming can be a world of hurt for a lot of reasons. You know, sometimes at your end, sometimes at theirs, and you know, sometimes just what they say—the ghost in the machine. Yeah, really. Quoting the Police from 1980. Yeah, show better be over soon, because it's obviously going downhill. Yeah, I was looking at several of the links that James sent, more people murdering other people. And there was one, I should find it here before I speak, of course, and it's not in front of me, but it was a mother who killed her daughter's soon-to-be betrothed. Yeah, she didn't like the boyfriend, bottom line. And so I was reading some of the gruesome details about that, I thought about, there are companies like dating.com that does surveys, and what they found out is 71% of the respondents report that their friends' opinions and others have no impact on their choice of whether or not to pursue a romantic partner. And 54% of the respondents reported they believe the disapproval they experienced from others, a relative perhaps, was a result of jealousy. And men are far less concerned with getting approval from those around them than women. In fact, 45% of male respondents said they would wait up to 6 months before mentioning a serious relationship to their parents. Good move. 92% of respondents noted if they were to seek relationship approval from anyone, it would be their mom. Well, apparently, the story I had was the mother from hell. Clearly, I have to find that here because, yeah, she did in the boyfriend, and I don't remember the details. I'll have to find that. But the latest flurry of articles that James sent was all about economic disaster, such as, you know, we're talking about China's $10 trillion hidden debt issue, apparently we're in fact I shouldn't even say this because I don't care what time of year, I don't care how the stock market is doing, you get some alleged expert who tell you that it's all going to hell in moments. Yeah. And this one, expect stocks to plunge at least 10%. Well, that's kind of minor. You know, half the time it makes it seem like you're going to lose everything, but 10% investors price the risk of recession, and others talking about how it's going to be a real stock market drag. I love this because people are finding out that the average person is spending $709 more on living expenses than they were 2 years ago. You got to be kidding me with that. Do they stay up nights to come up with this stuff? And of course, I also realize that no, the reality is that more and more, there are articles that are there strictly for the purpose of clickbait. And yeah, when I see that happening, I don't care how interesting the title might be. I'm not interested in the subject. But I am trying to find this this latest murder here, and I will. But in the meantime, I'll talk to Karen from Chicago. So, hey, Karen, what's up tonight?
Oh man, thank you for the Manhattans.
Oh sure.
That is one of my favorite. That's got to be my favorite one. That one in Call Please.
Call Somebody Call Please, me. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a question about streaming. I like Court TV, and I can get it on my iPad. I used to be able to get it on the Echo, but now I can get it on the iPad. But when I ask the Echo to do it, it will give me podcasts instead of the actual Court TV. Why the heck is that?
Well, the way the algorithm is programmed. In other words, it's programmed to respond with that. There may be another way you can query it. You can try different things. Like, what are you saying, stream Court TV?
I'll say Alexa play Court TV from TuneIn, and
okay,
that worked every time before, and now
right,
the last month or so, I can get it on my iPad on TuneIn Radio, but I cannot say Alexa. If I do that, if I say Alexa play Court TV from TuneIn, I get one of the documentaries, like a Forensic File or something.
Okay, well, what you might do is Alexa play CourtTV.com Court TV live stream.
Okay. Hey, I'll try anything once.
Because basically, the more you tell it where to go, so to speak, as it were, the more it's going to be able to know where to go.
Yeah, sometimes you can really want to tell it where to go.
Well, that's right. But I think your best bet is to just go ahead and tell it as close to the URL that the stream would be, because it can do that. Try it and let me know. You ended the show.
Like tune in on TV.
No, don't even say tune in. Do not use the word tune in. I'm saying play courttv.com, Court TV live stream. All right, I got to go.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, so that's a wrap. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your call. Above all, those of you who called, not many tonight, I'll tell you what, but thanks to those of you who did. Tomorrow night, a replay of Monday Night Trivia. Monday night, Labor Day live show, 3 hours, 10 o'clock Central. Be there. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.